Morning. I want to start just by saying thank you to the worship team, those that played today, but those of you that played last week or next week. And I know you'll say it's the Lord, and it is, but you take us somewhere, and just in you doing what you do, we are so blessed. And thank you, all of you. I'm looking around because you're over there. Thank you. I wanted to start by saying who I am, because I want you to see some things that I'm sharing in a minute in that context. But it's not who I am in terms of married to Mike, we've got two kids, I used to be a nurse. That's not really who I am. There's some things that I did. I'm glad I'm married, but there's some things that I did, you know. Who I am, these are the things that God's put in my heart, and you'll have different things that are your things. So we've got a thing that is for revival. And I can't say any more about that because it'll make me cry. But you just need to know that things come to me in that context of revival. And I've got a thing for the bride, the church. The church is the bride that's being prepared when everything's wrapped up at the end of days. Christ is coming back for his bride. There's a thing for the church. Everything comes to me in that thing. I can't get rid of that thing. And I've got a thing about the weighty presence of God, the kabod. So a while ago, Neil shared it as a word about God bringing the weight of his presence to bear. And then, less of a while ago, Thelma shared that story of, which is a story that has always moved me, and it's yes. The guy, the man that is super, super overweight, and he loiters in the doorway because he's looking for something that he can sit on that he isn't going to break because he's broken too many chairs in the past. He's looking for something that can hold the weight of his presence. So that's another thing that just somehow is in that mix of the things that are on my heart. So everything I share kind of comes within the mix of all of that. So there was a little while ago, probably last month, I had, and sometimes you're awake in the middle of the night because God's woke you up to pray, and then I'm aware of someone snoring. Sorry, but you know, this is a very real place, isn't it? Sometimes someone snoring might wake me up and I say, okay, Lord, I'm here and I'm awake, shall we pray? But from these middle of the night moments, I had so many strands of thought, all these different thoughts, all these different things, all these God things, but so many different things. And I'm like, what do I do with all of this, Lord? There's so many different things. What do I do with all of this? So obviously I write it down. I write everything down. I've got so many books, so many journals over the years. So write things down, you can go back and look at it and remember it. And then when the enemy says, did God really say? Yes, it's in that book. And so what do I do with all these thoughts? Well, I pray them, because you know when God gives you something, it's to pray it. And sometimes it's to say it. And somehow it comes together today that there's some strands that I know are to say today. But I was thinking, what do I do with all these different thoughts? It all looks quite messy. And I had this, God showed me this kind of picture of like a corded a cable, like your phone charger might be a corded one, or a rope where all the bits came together. But it's not just a rope, as there's something carried through the middle of it all. And then I happened to find in the bedroom where my daughter had left it after some Cluedo game that she'd done with the youth. This bit of rope, I've no idea where we got this bit of rope from. But like this is it, because this just looks a mess. There's so many strands. And there's all the strands of teaching that you've had through your life, all the words that God said, the pictures that he'd showed you, the scriptures that for you have been highlighted. There's so many strands, but they all fit together. And it doesn't look a mess. It all weaves in together. And actually, this one, it carries another level of rope, but this could be anything that it's carried on the inside. It's all woven around and it carries something. So all these strands of thought, of teaching, of scriptures, they fit together to carry something in your life. to carry the presence, to carry it. And these things, Gemma mentioned this last week, we need things to be heart knowledge, don't we? Not head knowledge. Don't we know so much stuff? And then when you're under pressure, you realise you don't really, really know it. You just thought you knew it, but you don't know it here. We need all these things to be heart knowledge, not just head knowledge. So I see this with a lot of things as well. When God shows me something, there's lots of different levels to it. There's a personal level. What does it mean for me? But there's a corporate level. What does it mean for us? What does it mean for the church, in the town, in the nation, in the world? There's different levels, and we've got to look at things on different levels. And another word that is a kind of key word that I'd say through everything is there's more. We had that this morning. There's more. Wherever we've got to in something, there's more. We might have been walking for years and think we know it, but there's more. We're never going to reach the end. There's more. So in these, I'm just bringing like three strands of the things this morning. There's more. There's more in all of them. We've got to keep pressing on for that. And we are, and here you are a people that are doing that. And we're so glad to be here with you. But there's more. Thank you. But there's more. But there's more. So with all these strands in my rope, God kind of showed me there's times where some things are going to be like highlighted in gold because they're the things of the moment. Some are different for different ones of us. Some are more corporate things. And these are some things that I see as what the Lord is calling for in the bride at this time. So again, that's personal because we are part of the bride. Guys, it's hard sometimes to think that you are the bride of Christ. But we are. But it's a corporate thing. But there's a personal response, there's a corporate response. So the first strand that I see, and it's come out in what we're talking about and singing about, and, you know, is about being yielded. Yielded. So when I have a word from God, I often have to look meanings up because English is not my strength. I'm a mathsy, sciencey kind of person. So I kind of look things up to get more of what it means. But yielded, to stop resisting, to give way in America and other countries, give way, road signs, a yield, it says yield, to give way, to allow someone else to have control, to surrender, to submit, to relent, to relinquish possession of. And that's come out in our worship and in our response to the Lord this morning anyway. We're on the way. This is not a new concept to you, I know, but there's more. And also yielded, when I looked it up, oh, well, of course it does, but I hadn't thought of it like this, to produce a crop, to be fruitful. That's a yield, a field, yield. So to produce a crop, and in our yielding, we are yielding. So it talks of total surrender, body, soul, spirit, everything completely given, abandoned, absolutely, utterly his. It's sacrificial. It's not a little thing, is it? Because it's everything, everything of us. And it happened at salvation. That is true. You know, when we gave our lives, but it's also ongoing. And it's not one or the other, it's both, isn't it? But at salvation, you know, whoever wants to be my disciple, deny themselves, take up their cross, follow me. And we said yes, whatever the language of the prayer that we prayed at the time, whether we put him in the driving seat, put him on the throne of our lives, surrendered, or whatever the language we used, we yielded our lives at that time. I've been crucified with Christ, it says in Galatians, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Yes, that's a done deal. It happened, it's done. We gave our lives. But there's an ongoing process as well, as we lay down our plans and our ideas, and day by day we yield to his on deeper levels. And then we were singing this morning, deep calls to deep, there's always more, it's deeper. I've been reading a lot in the Passion Translation, but I was reading Song of Songs, and a lot of my references are coming from there, because it shows that thing of the bride and the bridegroom. Arise, my love, open your heart, my darling, deeper still to me. There's always something deeper, there's always something more. So I went to David's Tent, the worship camping festival thing, last month, in the rain, in the mud. But there was a moment where we were singing the song, "For Your Glory, I Would Do Anything." Lovely song, I love it. "For Your Glory, I'll Do Anything." But I had to stop and think, would I? Do I really mean that? And there's other songs too that we sing. "All to you I surrender." Do I really, really mean that? We've got to know that we mean that, not just sing it because it's the words of the song. We've got to know that we really mean that. I want to always really mean it. We've got to check our hearts. I want to be willing. I want to be yielded. But we've got to check. And actually, I realised sometimes it's an act of our will, because we're telling our body and we're telling our soul to get in line with this thing that God's doing in our spirit when he's calling spirit to spirit. And our bodies and our thoughts and our feelings, they can be a whole big battle area, and we've got to tell our body, get in line, because this is what my spirit chooses. With our will, I'm choosing this. But we do need to check our lives. What else are we surrendering to? There can be big things, there can be little things. There's another verse that I've always liked but wondered about at the same time. And again, the Passion Translation has made things from Songs of Songs. I just say read it. It's made it in a slightly different way. So Song of Songs is a bit of a controversial book. Some people maybe struggle with it because it doesn't actually mention the Lord in it. It doesn't mention God in it. It mentions the bridegroom and the bride. And you've got to see it as allegorical. Mike said, "Are you using that big word?" Mike doesn't really know what else I'm saying apart from the word allegorical. It's an analogy. It's a story that shows us something. So we've got to look at it and see what is being said through it, not just how it looks on face value. So in chapter 2, it says, this is the bridegroom talking, "You must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship, for they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? We will do it together." And there's these things, little things that can come and just steal away what God's doing in our life, all the troubles of the day and the strife of life and all those things. And we need to be aware and attentive and catch them and stop them. And we can end up just carrying this stuff around. So when we were at David's Tent, I'd got a lot of stuff to carry, because you've got your blanket because you just sit on the grass on the floor. I've got my cushion, my bottle of water, my coffee, my raincoat, all my stuff. And then when we were in a queue to book an appointment for some prophetic art thing, I'd put it all on my blanket. And each time the queue moved forwards a bit, I'm dragging it along. And I kind of realised it's like we just drag stuff around in our lives. It's like I'm dragging a dead body along because it seemed really heavy. We're just dragging all these stuff around. They can just be little things, but we need to get rid of all these things so we can be so, so yielded. Nothing else. We don't need to carry that stuff. And we need God's help, don't we? We can't do this on our own. But it says that at the end of that verse, we'll do it together. In chapter 4, it says, this is the bride speaking, "Then may your awakening breath blow upon my life until I am fully yours." It goes on to say, spare nothing as you make me your fruitful garden. He'll blow on us his spirit. We've been there this morning too. He will help us in this. We don't have to do it on our own. And as we're more and more yielded, it will show in our lives, in our praying, in our fasting, in our worshipping, in our giving, but in how we live. And when we go out there, people will see something. And that's one of the things I long for, people just to say, what is it about you? There's something about you. There's something about you. What is it? I can see something different. So it'll show. So this is what I want to be able to say, what we need to be able to say as the bride, as we're fully yielded to him. This is from chapter 6. He is within me. I am his garden of delight. I have him fully, and now he fully has me. I have him fully, and now he fully has me. So yielded. Yes, Lord. So another strand. We're only getting 3 strands today. There are many more notes in my books, but there's 3 strands that felt were for today. And we've been here too already. I think I'm only describing what we're already living in here, but there's more. So there's more intimate worship. So I kind of did look up some definitions of worship, but I feel I know more, I understand more of worship. But feeling or expression, I want to say and expression. Sometimes I want to change what the definitions say, because some worldly definitions don't capture fully the spiritual aspect of everything. So the feeling and expression of reverence and adoration, to honour with extravagant love and extreme submission. So you see these strands all kind of overlap. Extreme submission. Oh, we're going back to being yielded. It's both an act and an attitude. These are all just random definitions from different people. I haven't told you who they're from. An act and an attitude. It's the attitude in our heart. It's not just what we do, it's why, it's what's in your heart. That's everything, isn't it? It's our heart. Everything's an issue of the heart, not just what we do, but it's what's in our heart. And again, it shows in what we say and how we live. And again, it's a body, soul, spirit thing. There's that whole revelation and response thing. We see something more of God and we respond to that. So I'm so looking forward to when we're in heaven, because we're going to worship all the time, and I love that. We heard some teaching once, and it was talking about the work that we're going to do in heaven, and it's like, that's not my idea of heaven. I'm going to worship, and we look up, and we have another revelation of some awesome, amazing thing, and we bow down in worship, and then we look up, and we have another revelation, and we're going to do that for eternity, and it's going to be great. I can't wait, because worship is what we're created for. And when we're lost in worship here, I love it, and I feel like I'm doing what I was made to do, because we are. That's what we're made for. We're made for his glory, to worship him, to give him glory. In the New Testament, the word that's used a lot, and I think I learned this years ago, we know the word. The word, I don't really know many Greek and Hebrew words. You just get in about all I know in this one talk today. There won't be any more another day. In the New Testament, the word proskuneo, I don't even know if I pronounce it right, to kiss towards or to come towards to kiss. I need Mike for a little demonstration. He doesn't know this either. Could you come and stand here? Please? So, about there, that'll do. Thank you very much. So, to come towards to kiss, I guess that means we're a little way off to start with, but to come towards to kiss, or to kiss towards, it could be that. And God's actually really pleased if that's all we manage in the morning, if you're busy on the way to work. God's really pleased. It says, captured. You've captured my heart with one glance of your eye. We've only got a... And God is captured, captivated. But, you know, we can step a little closer, walk in a bit more, linger a bit in his presence. It only says to come towards. It doesn't say to kiss. It only says to come towards to kiss. And the closer we get, the more intimate it is. But I had this revelation one time. You maybe know it. Sometimes your revelation is something someone else has known for years, isn't it? But I had this revelation, you know, when you've got him really close. So I've been praying, Lord, I want to see your face. Like Moses had to be hidden in the cleft in the rock. But then later on, Moses spoke with God face to face. So I pray like, Lord, I want to see your face. When you've leant in really close, you can see him face to face. And you're looking in his eyes and he's looking in your eyes. And you're known and you're there. And it is so close and intimate. Maybe later. So we've got to lean in close, stepping closer. And again, that's what we do. We're so blessed here. That's what we do on a Sunday morning. But you've got to do that at home somehow too. It won't quite look the same. Because Nadia and the worship band aren't just sat there in your lounge or your prayer room waiting for you to be ready. We don't watch much TV, but is it Yorkshire Tea, the advert, where they've got a live band on the side, and every time they put you on hold on the phone, you get the live band? Yeah. It's not like the live band is on the side in your lounge waiting, so you've got to see what it looks like for you at home, on the train, wherever. But there's that same stepping in close, intimacy. You've got to work out what that looks like. Intimacy is a word that's kind of been hijacked by the world, really. We're kind of confused now, and there's a whole load of distorted things and selfish things out there. But intimacy is the call of the bridegroom to the bride. And that's a personal thing when you're home alone. And that's a corporate thing when we're together. Another one of my strands, as the notice is gone, a while ago was about the tabernacle and Moses' tabernacle in the Old Testament and David's tent where the ark was then in the tent. And there's the outer courts, and then there's the inner courts, and then there's the Holy of Holies. And we live this side of the cross. Why would we stay in the outer courts when we're now invited into the Holy of Holies? That's where the presence of God is. Why would we stay in the outer courts? Because on the cross, when Jesus died and the curtain was torn in two, that barrier between the presence, between man and God, was torn in two, was destroyed, was finished. Why would we stay in the outer courts when we could be in the Holy of Holies in that place? And then we are in the presence of God. And that comes into my weighty presence, the kabod strand. Maybe that one's for another day. So wherever we're at so far, there's more. There's more. The call of the bridegroom to the bride, the call of the Lord to the church. Arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Come away with me. I have come, as you have asked, to draw you to my heart and lead you out. Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. We've got to keep pressing on. We've got to keep stepping closer, leaning in. And that's what we're doing. But keep doing it, because there's more. Because there's more. Because there's more. I love how in the kingdom sometimes there can be two ideas that kind of seem almost to be held in tension because they're almost opposite each other. Some kind of paradox thing, but it's not one or the other. It is both. So my next strand is the fear of the Lord. And that can almost seem, well, how can you have that close, intimate thing? And what is the fear of the Lord? Does that take you into a very different place? And it's both. It's both. It says in Psalm 147, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Fear him, unfailing love, that's intimate. And in Song of Songs chapter 5, it says, this is the bride speaking, he alone is my beloved. He shines in dazzling splendor, yet he's still so approachable. Again, that's both. It's not one or the other, it's both. So I have to say, I don't fully understand everything of the fear of the Lord. I think I need to learn more about this one. But when you look in the Bible, there's so many Bible verses that mention it, I couldn't really choose one. So general definitions would be about reverence and awe and respect and honour, responding to the reverence and wonder. There's a quote that says, fear of the Lord motivates us to holy living and righteousness. It's not a mere fear of his power, but it's a wholesome dread of displeasing him. This is a positive fear, not a negative fear. Lots of experiences of fear in our lives, they're really negative. This is not that kind of paralyzing, terrorizing fear. If you've known an authority figure that's been a really negative experience, that's given lots of, caused lots of fear in your life, this is not that. And maybe if you've known that, that can be an issue, because we can't embrace the fear of the Lord because we have these other ideas that block our understanding. But fear of the Lord is a positive, not a negative fear. So some of the references from, I just went through Psalms, there was like way so many to look up. And we know the one, it's the beginning of wisdom. But there's so many others. If we accept his words, if we store up his commands within us, if we call out for insight, we hate evil, they're all fear of the Lord. It comes as a command. It says it adds length to your days. It says it's a fountain of life. It's a secure fortress. It leads to life. It leads to lacking nothing. The Lord has great love for those who fear him. The Lord delights in those who fear him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him with awe-inspired reverence and worship him with obedience. So I was looking to see how this now looks in the New Testament, because obviously as with this side of the cross, fear becomes a bit different. Fear back then was a very real thing. So when there was the Holy of Holies and the priest went in once a year, he must have been really fearful. And they used to tie a rope around his leg so they could pull him out if he kind of died in the process. And when they were moving the ark, and they were doing it the wrong way, and they had it on the wagon, and someone reached out to steady it, and they touched it, they died. So fear for them was a very, very real thing. But as we stand this side of the cross, I think it looks slightly different, because we know that other side. We know the forgiveness, the love, the acceptance, everything else that comes to us. In Acts 9, it says, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. So we know it's not just an Old Testament thing, this fear of the Lord thing. We know it's for us to understand somehow today. And so one of the main words that showed up was about awe. And I think awesome is another word that's been hijacked by the world. And I kind of think we need to go home from church and say it was awful. Have you ever done that? Do you go home and say, church was awful today? Church should be awful. Church is awful. because it was full of awe. And that's how the word used to be used. And then it became awesome. And then awesome kind of became, to young people today, everything's awesome. And the Lego movie has the song, everything is awesome. And the word awesome doesn't mean what it used to mean. So English is not my strength. And just as Nadia had said at some point this morning, we don't have the words. I feel so limited because I don't have the words, even if I was very fluent in English, I don't have the words to express how awesome God really is. I'm really glad that I can pray in tongues and sing in tongues, because in that heavenly language, there must be words that can express it far better than we can in English. I'm not really into hymns, but there would have been times when when we'd sung the hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." And it's got a phrase in it, and I don't like singing things I don't understand, "Ineffably sublime." Ineffably sublime. What does that mean? Why would I sing it? I don't know what that means. Why would I sing "ineffably sublime"? So I did look this up back then in those days to say, why am I singing something I don't understand? What does it mean? It's inexpressibly supreme, beyond words, of great excellence and beauty and awe-inspiring. And it's got that expression of, this is more than what we can express in our English language. There's more than what we can say. And I think that's starting to get towards the fear of the Lord, the understanding that awesome, majestic, holy, where our only response can be to fall down on our knees. In a lot of cultures, the thing about kissing, when it's someone that you're very familiar with, you might kiss them on the cheek. And that's the intimate side. When it's someone more significant, you might kiss their hand. When it's someone really, really important, some kind of authority figure, you bow down, you kiss their feet. And this whole bowing down in awe and reverence, in that recognizing who he is, you can't help but bow down. And so we have both. Like I said, we have that paradox of we have the intimate, but we have that awesome. And I love the way that actually it flows together. And we go through that here some Sunday mornings. There are moments that are really awful. and we're on our knees. And there are moments that are really intimate. And we're face to face. And it just flows. Because it is both. I just added this little bit in here, because this is another thought that I had. As we walk in the fear of the Lord, other fears will fade. This is the only fear that we should be carrying. So it brings our little foxes back, little subtle things, things that we don't really think of, but they're just part of who we are, but they're not. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of man, worry and anxiety, all those things. The more we fear the Lord, I think the less we'll see of those other things. I'm still working that one out in my own life, but the more we fear the Lord, the less we'll fear those other things. Because we know who he is in his holiness, in his majesticness, in his awesomeness, how big he is. These things are so little. So there's more in fear of the Lord. I know there's more. There's a lot more for us to understand and what that means and what that looks like for us as individuals. For all of these things in being yielded, there's more in intimate worship. There's more in fear of the Lord. There's more. And as these things come together, the bride is being prepared and matured and made ready, and we, the church, the bride, will be able to carry this thing of the presence of the Lord. So I think new gold strands will start to show up. New things will be highlighted. This isn't the end of it. This is just a moment. And there's more. And some things, it will be things we knew that we need reminding. Some things, it'll be new things. But there's more strands. There's more in these ones that we're talking about today. So I'm just going to read a bit from the end of chapter 4 from Song of Songs, kind of as our response. And this is our response as an individual, but this is our response as a company of people, the Ark. This is our response as the church in the town. This is our response as the church in the nation. So we're saying it for ourselves, but we're saying it for others too, because this church thing is the whole church. We're a part of it, but there's a whole church. It's every part of the church, so every church, every expression. This is for them too. Then may your awakening breath blow upon my life until I am fully yours. Breathe upon me with your spirit wind. Stir up the sweet spice of your life within me. Spare nothing as you make me your fruitful garden. Hold nothing back until I release your fragrance. Come walk with me as you walked with Adam in your paradise garden. Come walk with me until I am fully yours. Come walk with me until I am fully yours. Yes, Lord. Amen.